Welcome, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, he's back. I know. We just had him 2-3 weeks ago. He's the search and seizure guy, and man, look at what we've uncovered in the realm of search and seizure. And we need attorney Anthony Bandiero to dumb it down for us and explain to us at grade school level so we can comprehend it and also retain it, which explains the theatrics that you're getting ready to witness. I apologize in advance. And so, Anthony, thank you so much for being on the show. We also have a Sheriff Mark Kreider all the way from Walla Walla County in Washington State. Also, a distinguished career with the FBI. So and he's going to have some interesting commentary on these topics, and I can't wait to tell you what we're going to be talking. We don't have a lot of topics today, guys, because this is going to be in-depth stuff, and you're going to learn. I guarantee you, you're going to learn a lot. I do want to mention our sponsors. You know, our title sponsor, Galls at Galls.com. Don't forget that discount code that gets you 15% off your next order, Galls.com. It's Radio 15. Also, ComplyTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. We have Gunler.com, MyMedicare.life, TwoBells.com, and a shout out to Brian Birch with the Tampa Free Press. Thanks for carrying our content. Also, Reed Dietrich, former lawman.com, and Travis Yates with LawOfficer.com. And also, people looking how they carry our show. We're on every, I think, podcast outlet known to man, especially Spotify, Apple, iTunes, two of the largest. We're also on Rumble and YouTube and Facebook and X, formerly Twitter, and Truth Social. And we have a full gamut of social media coverage as well. If you're really looking to watch a show at different outlets, the best advice I can give you, go to our website, leoroundtable.com. And whether it's radio, TV, social media, podcast, we've got it all listed there. Links, dates, times, station numbers for radio, all that good stuff. And we're up to 47 stations now. One of them is 100,000-watt FM. That's pretty incredible. So thanks to everybody for their support. Now, let's go ahead and talk about what we're going to be talking about. So we've got some main stories lined up here, and we've got three main stories, two update stories, and that's if we have time to get to everything. I suspect we will not. But the first three are their main stories. They're deep dives into some complicated stuff. Anthony Bandiero, he is a search and seizure expert. Guys, if you're watching the show, if you're active or maybe administrative, you know, you're an agency head, command staff, you need to watch this. Your guys need to watch this to stay out of the grease. And there'll be more about Anthony Bandiero and blue to gold that will help lower liability for both the agency and the officers. But this first one we're going to talk about, it's Florida Supreme Court rules that police blunders on knock and announce will not kill drug cases. And the one after that, Supreme Court rules that geofence warrants must comply with the Fourth Amendment. And then our third one that we've got, judge rules that law enforcement agencies request for cell simulator. And I read up on those. Those are pretty cool. It's overly broad in obtaining data from uninvolved citizens. And you always hate it when the facts get in the way of a good, you know, strategic idea from law enforcement and how to skirt the system. And then we've got two update stories. If we have time to get those, we got five Georgia cops. They're in the grease because they use flock cameras for personal searches, according to the GBI, Georgia Bureau of Investigation. And GBI, they're serious people. I know a couple people over there. Illegal alien fatally shot after trying to run over an ICE agent. Where? You may be surprised. Houston, Texas. That's right. And there was a showdown. I think that the illegal guy, I think he lost. So if you guys are ready, let's start off with the first, you know, main story, and we'll go from there. Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com, and they did three articles on this, by the way. Florida Supreme Court rules that police blunders on knock and announce that they will not kill drug cases. And so we'll cover this briefly. Anthony will do the deep dive and explain it to us. But the Florida Supreme Court, and of course, guys, look, I know if you're outside Florida and you're listening to this, you're thinking, oh, that's Florida. It doesn't affect me. I'm in Georgia or Louisiana, or especially if you're like over like Washington State or in California. But there's a lot of things that migrate over. And once case law is established, Anthony can explain it better than me about the importance of following some of the stuff, especially depending on who you are. But the Florida Supreme Court, they have ruled that evidence seized by police during a raid, that it cannot be thrown out of court simply because the officers failed to give the residents enough time to answer the door after announcing that they have a search warrant. It was a 6-1 decision, so not even that close. It explicitly overturned a 16-year-old state legal precedent that previously required judges to suppress evidence that was obtained during knock and announce violations. So this is major. The ruling stems from a Leon County drug investigation here in Florida, targeted a specific trafficking organization. So the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, the FDLE, and the Tallahassee Police Department, they obtained a valid warrant for a local residence. And when they executed it, though, officers knocked several times, announced their presence twice, but they only stated that they possessed a search warrant seconds before they forced their way inside the home with a battering ram. So inside the home, they got cocaine, MDMA, 23 grand cash, two firearms. There's a guy named Keith Alexander Times. He's inside the house along with three other people. He's arrested and charged with trafficking in amphetamines, possession of cocaine, possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, so he was a prohibited person. And the Times, our bad guy, successfully moved to suppress the evidence at the trial court level. He argued that the quick forced entry violated Florida's knock and announce law. He said they didn't make the announcement soon enough about the search warrant. The First District Court of Appeal, they affirmed the decision, noting that it was bound by the Supreme Court's 2010 ruling in a case called State versus Cable. And anyhow, the appeals court asked the state's highest court, though, to weigh in on whether that rule should still stand, which tells me that I'm kind of curious how they came to that conclusion to ask the state Supreme Court to weigh in on this. And I wish I was privy to the rationale to what was going on in their heads and the discussions on how they knew that there was a possibility, you know, this might even get overturned. So that said, gentlemen, let's do our deep dive into this. Anthony, you want to start us off?
I do, and I have the answer to your question, my friend. I do know why the appellate court the highest court. Yeah, I do, because it was actually inconsistent with federal law. So just to get out of the way, this was absolutely the right decision by the Florida Supreme Court. This is the way it works. They actually had it wrong by suppressing evidence because of a knock and announce violation. So let's just kind of do some foundational stuff. So the first thing, the reason why we have knock and announce is to basically save a man's door, give him the opportunity to peacefully let the search happen, and also to prevent violence, right? So there's absolutely a great reason to have a knock and announce. We want cops to knock and announce. We don't want them violating this rule. However, the problem under the Constitution is that, at least with the exclusionary rule, is that you're not supposed to suppress evidence unless the violation is what they call the but-for cause of finding evidence. In other words, the knock and announce violation is not how they found the evidence. They were going to find the evidence, and this is what the court said. They were going to find the evidence regardless, because why? They have a search warrant. So, yeah, you do have a technical violation, but that violation is not the but-for cause of the finding the evidence. Like, so if I search your car, you know, illegally, and I find evidence, of course, my illegal search is the but-for cause. Like, but for my illegal search, I would have never found the evidence, right? Well, that's not what's happening here with the knock and announce violation. The other thing that the court said was that, okay, even so you have this but-for cause, but also you have an attenuation issue. Like, attenuation is another doctrine that's kind of complicated, quite frankly. I wish they would use a more simple term. Like, you know, it's like disconnected. Like, okay, even if there was some kind of connection to this, the knock and announce somehow found the evidence, it's still, you still have this warrant, and like your officer still got judicial approval to do it. Okay, so that's kind of the rule. We have knock and announce for a reason, save a man's door and no violence, but we also have the exclusionary rule, which doesn't jive with the violation. The reason why the appellate court asked the Supreme Court to fix this was because the U.S. Supreme Court already fixed it in Hudson. Hudson is a 2006 case, whatever, but the U.S. Supreme Court said federally under the Fourth Amendment that we don't suppress evidence because of knock and announce violations. But they also
essentially
said that's a procedural
violations. Okay, yeah.
Well, but it's more than procedural in the sense that it is a constitutional requirement, and that's what gets people kind of like wrapped around the wheel. It's like, okay, well, if the Constitution requires knock and announce, then how can you not suppress the evidence? Well, I just told you why, right? Because it's not the but-for cause. But okay. The U.S. Supreme Court also said, hey, calm down, everybody, because the dissenters, which there were, a few, the dissenters were like, well, all you're doing is incentivizing the police to break the law, right? If there is no consequence, right? If I'm not going to lose my evidence for not announcing and not, then why am I going to do it in the first place? And the Supreme Court answered that. And it's called a few things. One, societal pressure. But number two is a 1983 civil rights violation. See, the violation occurred. You're supposed to knock and announce, wait a reasonable amount of time, depending on circumstances, right? But if you do not do that, your remedy is money, not suppression of evidence. And that's what's supposed to keep these cops in check. The final thing about this before we go on our break here is this. Number one, most states would already have this rule. Okay, so this is not earth-shattering to most people except in places like Florida, which they actually had it wrong, right? But the other thing, because they comply with Hudson already. But the other thing that's also unique to Florida, and California is the only other state like this, is that they have a constitutional provision that requires that they interpret their own state constitution in line with the Fourth Amendment. Well, I already told you, the Supreme Court said in Hudson, we don't suppress evidence. So the Supreme Court of Florida had to do this. They had no choice because it wasn't in line with the Fourth Amendment, according to the U.S. Supreme Court.
I think you did a pretty good job of explaining that. Wow. And that was involved too. I'm sure, you know, I guess that helps explain why Florida had a 6-1 decision on this and there was one dissenter. So I'm curious
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, we got 13 seconds, guys. There's so much more to come. So stick with us, guys. Commercial break. We'll be right back.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At Galls, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Backed with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by attorney Anthony Bandiero with Blue the Gold at bluethegold.com and also Sheriff Mark Kreider, all the way from Walla Walla County in Washington State. We've been talking about the Florida Supreme Court ruling on police blunders on knock and announce that they will not kill drug cases. And attorney Anthony Bandiero, who specializes in search and seizure, along with his company Blue the Gold at bluethegold.com, has been breaking it down for us. I think we're at the tail end of this. Any final words on this, Anthony?
The last thing is just people should not freak out. If your rights are violated, go get money, right? But not everything is a suppression issue.
All right. Well, great. And I know as we go through these stories, you know, the sheriff has a former career with the FBI. And so he may be providing some federal assistance on some of the commentary on some of this stuff, too, as we go down the rabbit hole. So, well, did you have something you wanted to add on this one, Sheriff?
I don't think you can improve on that lesson that you just got. And actually, I'm going to log that as legal training for my continuing education this month.
I love that. I love that. Now, Anthony, since the sheriff kind of did a segue there for you, can you tell us what, because we're getting ready, we're doing the deep dive and all this stuff, but this is valuable stuff. I mean, for active cops and for agency heads, that sometimes you just don't know what you don't know. But I will tell you, the people that are watching the show, we just had Anthony on the show explaining stuff like this about 3 weeks ago. And I mean, we covered, four or five articles that were, in my opinion, very critical things that it just changed. And now it's only been a few weeks and we're doing it again. And we've got three big articles and one small one. What can you tell people what you do and how they can get a hold of you if they want more information?
Yeah, no, briefly, what I do is what I'm doing here. I teach cops how to make good case law. I teach them what the rules are. I teach the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, you know, and then we can go into the Fifth Amendment, and then I teach prosecutors the Sixth and so forth. But the point is I go around the country. I've taught over 100,000 police officers personally, just me, Anthony, not just my company. I've taught over 6,000 prosecutors and defense attorneys about what the law is. And we are, you know, we are the largest legal trainers for cops in the nation. And I'm not sure that's hard to do because there's not a lot of people that play in our space because they like the, most of them play with the toys, the running and gunning stuff, SWAT teams. They don't like to play. A lot of people don't like to play in the legal training stuff because it's not as exciting. But we make it kind of fun. So blue2gold.com. So, and we have a lot of free training, by the way. We do free training every week.
Yeah. Webinars. And I love it. I love it. All right. Yep. Well, excellent. Well, thank you. Moving along, guys. We've got our next one here, our second of three main topics. So this is from the libertydaily.com. Supreme Court rules that geofence warrants must comply with the Fourth Amendment. It's the Liberty Daily News, but the Epoch Times or Epic Times, however you want to pronounce it, the Supreme Court is where it originally came from. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled on June the 29th that law enforcement officials have to abide by the Fourth Amendment when they use cell phone location data to investigate criminal activity. The Fourth Amendment protects against unreasonable search or seizure, and they have a suspected bank robber said police violated his rights by accessing his location data to place him at the scene of the crime. Which makes me laugh. But an individual, this is a quote from Justice Elena Kagan saying that an individual has a reasonable expectation of privacy in records about his cell phone's location, and police intrude on that constitutionality that constitutionally protected interest when they demand the information, even though for only a limited amount of time and from a third party tech company. And that's what she wrote in a 6-3 ruling. But the suspect in the case, according to this article and according to the judge, is not quite off the hook just yet. She says that we leave to the Court of Appeals, so the lower court or the lower appellate court, the further question whether, given the warrant issued, the search here was reasonable, meaning that each of its steps was properly described with particularity and found to be supported by probable cause. Now, Justice Samuel Alito, Clarence Thomas, and Amy Coney Barrett, they were the dissenters. And Alito, in his dissent, he wrote that the suspect's chances of having the evidence suppressed are virtually zero, and the court should have never taken this case at all. So he wasn't happy. And then the history of this is that after a 2019 bank robbery in Midlothian, Virginia, the law enforcement officer served Google with a warrant for geofencing data. That's where this thing started. The police wanted anonymous cell phone data within a 300-meter radius of the crime to pinpoint the possible suspects. And then when they got the data, they gradually narrowed in their search on three individuals and finally arrested Okella Chatry, charged him for the robbery. So after the district court upheld the location data as evidence, our bad guy, Chatry, he entered a conditional guilty plea, and then he appealed it. So the Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit that it upheld the warrant, but the judges were divided on fundamental legal questions, such as whether examining the geofence data qualified as a search under the Fourth. And the majority on Monday's ruling said that it does qualify because our bad guy had an expectation of privacy regarding location data. But Justice Neil Gorsuch agreed in principle, but not totally. He said, hey, count me unpersuaded on this one. Why does tracking the bad guy's movements digitally over an hour or two invade his reasonable expectation of privacy? Because if we had a cop tailing him for the same amount of time, it would not. And instead, he wrote the location data should be considered as the bad guy's personal property. And the lower court was also split on whether the good faith exception applied to the use of the location data. And so that's kind of where we're at. So I just wanted to kind of plant the seeds on all this stuff. Anthony, why don't you step in here and clean this up for us?
All right, so let's work backwards real quick. Alito is not happy about taking the case, mainly because no matter what, Chatry is going to, in almost 99%, he's not going to get his case overturned because I think we all can agree, even his defense attorney, even though not necessarily, but that at the time of this search, it was not even, the law was not clear either way. And regardless, okay, the law is not clear either way, so you give that. But regardless, the cops got a search warrant. So even if the search warrant is a little defective, which we're going to talk about, you give. What's that saying? You know, you give it to the like an ambiguous issue, like you give it to the cops here because they got a warrant. All right. So he's going to stay in jail. So let's work from the beginning. This case is actually really important because even people like me was not sure that this was even a search. Oh, we're going 14 seconds. I see. So I'll pick it up. Yep.
All right. Perfect timing. We'll be right back, guys. Commercial break. Stick with it. You don't want to miss this. All right, guys. It's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And they are committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-ethics manner, utilizing what they call their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Device Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, it's called the Glove. It's not only helped officers tens of thousands of times, but they've had over 250,000 deployments. And guess what? No injuries, no deaths. Amazing statistic. They've actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or a conductive energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already tuned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions has ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today. Tell them that Chip sent you, ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Sheriff Mark Kreider, all the way Walla Walla County in Washington State, and Anthony Bandero, attorney with Blue the Gold at BlueTheGold.com. And we have been talking about the stuff in Anthony's wheelhouse, search and seizure, and the Supreme Court rules that geofence warrants must comply with the Fourth Amendment. Anthony, the floor is still yours.
All right, look, let's kind of start back to the what is a search under the Fourth Amendment? Well, there are two types of searches under the Fourth Amendment. There's a reasonable expectation of privacy, and there's a trespass. Now, both arguments were made at the U.S. Supreme Court. The attorney for Chatry, he said, look, yes, tracking even one location, just one location over 1 second, just one location violates a person's or implicates a person's reasonable expectation of privacy. Whether it violates it or not depends on whether you have a warrant or an exception. But the other thing he made, and I got to tell you, I was fascinated, and the Supreme Court didn't really hang their hat on it because they didn't need to. They already had the expectation of privacy issue. But they said that when you, your cell phone, right, when your cell phone gives your location data to the, your to the tower and to the cell phone company, that is actually your data, and you're letting them borrow it because you need it to actually make the phone function, right? So what he's saying, and I think it's a very good argument, he's saying this is not third party data. This is not like you giving giving information to a third party and let them do whatever they want with it. You're only giving your location to a cell phone company so you can actually use their device. It's your data. Now, they use it for marketing and so forth, but you can't, in other words, because it's your data, the feds or police can't just tell the company to hand it over without implicating the Fourth Amendment. I just want to drop that in there because I thought it was a very interesting argument. I think it's a viable argument. But ultimately, the Supreme Court said that this implicates a person's expectation of privacy. In order to implicate privacy, you have to have two things. Number one, did the suspect here, Chatry, expect privacy? Did he reasonably expect that his location information would be not given to the government without a recognized exception or a warrant? And number two, is this something society would recognize as reasonable? The problem that Chatry really resolved is that the Supreme Court has never said previously that one location information, piece of location, was a search on the Fourth Amendment. The closest thing we got was Carpenter. A lot of people actually know Carpenter. It's actually a pretty popular case. But in Carpenter, the FBI grabbed – the FBI, by the way, is always behind these big cases, okay? So just – you know, they're not perfect, okay? They look good, but they're not always perfect. But the FBI took basically 10 days of tracking information, cell site location information about Carpenter, and the Supreme Court said that was a search, but they made the opinion seem like it's only a search. Why? Because of all these movements. You're basically painting a picture of this guy's life. Well, so in Chatry, the prosecutor's like, look, this is not a Carpenter issue. We didn't track this guy for 10 days. We tracked him for 2 hours. But the U.S. Supreme Court, which is huge, said it's whether it's one tracking data or 2 weeks or 2 years, one search, one tracking piece of information is a search on the Fourth Amendment. And now You need crew. That's what we teach here at Blue to Gold. If you're going to implicate the Fourth Amendment, a search or seizure, you have to have consent, express or implied. You have to have a recognized exception, like exigency, like a murder suspect on the loose or kidnapping victim. Or number three, you have to have a warrant. Well, the Chatry's attorney says the warrant is defective. But that's what's really going on here, is that this information, you know, this track information is not third-party data. I can get into that there's a long line of cases that if you voluntarily give your information to another party, like a bank, a car dealership, a Walmart, if you voluntarily give them information, they can use it for whatever they want, including they can give it to the government, or the government can subpoena it without probable cause. But if it's protected by the Fourth Amendment, you cannot do that without a warrant. So they're saying tracking your location is not third-party data. It is your data, essentially, and grabbing it without a valid warrant is unlawful. There is one more thing, Chip, if I can kind of, because there's actually a missing piece to this too. I shouldn't really. The other piece to this was that they did argue that FBI was Carpenter, but here it was not the FBI. But in Chatry, they said that the warrant itself was what they call a general warrant, which is something from colonial days, essentially saying that the warrant is so broad that it wraps up innocent people, which is a good argument. I mean, ultimately, they grabbed 19 people. They identified, they had information on 19 different people, right? So 18 people not involved. And they were able to, their expert for Chatry's expert was able to, even those only like, you know, cell phone serial numbers and like, you know, the IP addresses, whatever they like have for that, no names, they were still able to identify those people, even though Google did not give them all the names. So what we're trying to say here is that this warrant, even though it's anonymized, right? It's like initially it's anonymized, like, hey, who was in this space during this time block, right? In this raid, this geofence, who was here for 2 hours? Well, Google gave 19 people, but Chatry's experts were able to identify more than two of those people, several of those people with just that data. And two of those people were sitting in their home. I mean, you gotta admit, like, okay, I mean, if the government's gonna get this anonymized data, it's not a Fourth Amendment search, then they could deduce who I am without Google telling them who I am.
Got it. And agree.
Complicated.
Yeah.
Complicated.
Yeah.
But it's the future. And that's why this case is so important. It's like, what is going to happen with mass surveillance? That's what this case is really about.
So your gut on this ruling, good or bad?
It is good, but I will tell you, if you would have asked me before Chatry came out, I would have said no search. But I will tell you the reason I would have said that were two things, okay? And I was not programmed correctly. Number one is I was in the Carpenter, like I read Carpenter, and Carpenter made it very clear that the Supreme Court was concerned about replicating a person's life. Like, if you know that they go to church or don't go to church, they go to the brothels or don't go to the brothels, they go to political campaigns. If you can see all that data over time, then you can replicate, like, you know, their locations. Like, yeah, he might go to the GOP, you know, offices to because it's right next to the hair salon. But if he's going there then he might be a campaign worker and so forth. So Carpenter made us think that they call it the mosaic theory. Like, it's a mosaic theory. If you have these data points, then you can basically replicate the person's life. And there's some truth to that. And the other thing is, I never thought that this location information was not third party. I thought this was, the courts have made it pretty clear that a lot is like, once you knowingly allow your phone to connect to that tower and it connects to Verizon, and Verizon knows that location information, huh?
Yeah.
Then it's basically, it's third party, meaning it's not your data anymore. The argument was actually very well made this is not third party data. This is your data, and you're letting them borrow it so that you can use their product.
Fascinating stuff. Just fascinating stuff. Complicated, but you're dumbing it down. I wish
I could dumb it down more. Well, I'll dumb it down more the more I understand where this is going. Right now, I'm still trying to figure out like what this means because right now it implicates Flock cameras. Chatry's lawyers say that this actually means the death of Flock cameras. I don't think that's true, but there are going to be people that are going to use this case to argue that. So we're going to have to see.
So let me ask you this, Anthony. We've got two stories that I'm hoping to cover. One is about Flocks. It's about, I think it's five Georgia cops that got in the grease on using the Flock system. And then I've got this next one. The judge rules that the law enforcement agency's request for cell simulators is overly broad. Which do you want to tackle next?
Look, the easiest one is the five people accessing Flock data.
Okay, so let me just bring that up, and it may be a quick one. I definitely want to, you know, hopefully we'll have time to do the other one, but the story you just mentioned, a good segue. So newsbreak.com, we have five Georgia cops use Flock cameras for personal searches, according to GBI, which of course is the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. I got to tell you, GBI has got a great reputation among law enforcement around the country. They really do. We have five cops accused of using the Flock license plate camera technology, the readers in South Georgia, to make personal searches, according to the GBI, Georgia Bureau of Investigation. The officers formerly with the Albany Police Department, now formerly, so you know these guys got, yeah, they got fired. So they're formerly with Albany. They were charged with misuse of license plate data and violation of oath of office in a July 6th statement from the Bureau. It gives the names and what the charges were. I'll cover that briefly when we come back. So guys, we're going to take our third commercial break, and then we're going to try to wrap up, you know, everything and finish this story and cover one more. So stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And hey, there's some new stuff going on with GunLearn. So if people are watching the show and not familiar of it, you may want to pay attention. Now, for starters, GunLearn.com, they are the first and only company that offer a step-by-step program that takes you from your present knowledge level to become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist. So here's the deal and the change. They have partnered with Smarter Degree and the University Partners, and now that certified firearm specialist degree is worth college credits. That's a big deal. And of course, they've been doing this back since 1996. They've been teaching everything that Leos need to know about firearms and also ammunition to all facets of law enforcement. And you can start today with online training, or you can sign up to attend a live seminar. And if you have your own agency, if you're a chief or a sheriff, you can even host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. You go to GunLearn.com to get more information. And let me add that certified firearm specialist degree, even if you got it 5 years ago, still worth college credits. GunLearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by attorney Anthony Bandero with Blue the Gold at BlueTheGold.com, specializing in search and seizure. Also, we have Sheriff Mark Kreider all the way from Walla Walla County in Washington State and former FBI special agent, I think supervisory special agent, if I remember correctly. And we left off talking about a newsbreak.com story. Five Georgia cops used the Flock camera system for personal searches, according to the GBI. So that means that we have the state's highest law enforcement agency doing the investigation. And these guys are all former cops now. We have Tatiana Davis, 27 years old. She's facing six charges. Jay Jackson, 32 charges with three counts. Oh, I'm sorry, 32 years old with three counts. And then Nicholas Richardson, 30 years old, 12 counts. And then Brittany Smith, 23 and facing two counts. And finally, Isaac Wittes, 24 years old. That's young and facing three counts. It goes on to say that according to the GBI, the Albany Police Department conducted an internal audit of the Flock license plate reader camera system, found it had been misused. The internal audit revealed that the officers previously accessed the system on multiple occasions and utilized and retained license plate data for non-law enforcement purposes, according to GBI, Georgia Bureau of Investigation. I want to also throw in there, well, let me just, the department then requested GBI. So the department requested them to actually do the investigation back on June 25th, 2026, which of course led to arrests and dismissals. I do want to mention that, you know, Flock has been under the gun. And I did read in here that they said, hey, look, the system works. I mean, as cops, we always bring a human component to this, right? We're flawed. There's going to be some cops going to make mistakes, but the system arguably works because we had five, there was an audit, five bad cops identified, And look, they not only lost their jobs, but now they're being prosecuted for it. So so I leave it there. But it was the previous story was a good segue into the Flock's camera system. Anthony Bandera.
I mean, the sheriff might also want to opine on this, but really this is just an example of abusing databases. This is not a constitutional issue. This is just they're violating the law by using a law enforcement database for personal use. Most of these cases are romantic harassment, right? They're looking for ex-girlfriends or future girlfriends. They're looking, track a pretty girl that they stopped on a traffic stop and they're trying to see where she's going so they can just have a little, hey, how you doing again? I didn't know you were at the Starbucks. 90% of these cases, like legitimately, not 90% of these Flock abuses are actually romantic issues. But look, I'll just tell my cops out there, and the sheriff may have a word on this too, but the days of running your babysitter through NCIC are over. Like, you know what I mean? Just it's over. Like you have to comply with the law. Just you're no different than anybody else. If it's not a criminal investigation, don't abuse it. It's against the law to abuse these systems for personal use. Maybe Sheriff has something to add to it because he's the boss.
So just kind of an interesting sidelight. We personally don't have Flock cameras in the county, but our adjoining agencies do, which we're on a task force. We have safeguards in place that they have to have a legitimate law enforcement reason to actually run something in the Flock system, which is no different than NCIC or anything else, exactly what Anthony alluded to with, a legitimate law enforcement reason to use the system. What's interesting to me is, if you're familiar with the state of Washington, we had a case, and Anthony, this kind of segues into the whole phone thing, but I personally, my take on the way that the Flock camera system is set up is that the data is collected by Flock. Until we query that data and put that data into a report that we are using for a legitimate law enforcement investigation, that data doesn't belong to us. It belongs to Flock. Well, the state of Washington doesn't agree with my legalistic view of that. Just as a disclaimer, I never attended law school, but we actually had a disgruntled former spouse or about to be former spouse do a public records request for his ex-wife or under the gun, soon to be ex-wife. And the state said we needed to release that information to him, even though a police officer could not conduct that same search. So the Flock system, there's a lot of moving parts to that data, who owns the data, how you can query that data, and what protections should be put in place in order to protect that data from these types of, furious inquiries from the public. So it's a very interesting case.
All right. Well, that is interesting. I think that we have barely enough time to do this last story, if that's okay with you guys. On policeone.com, judge rules law enforcement agency's request for cell simulator is overly broad in obtaining data from uninvolved citizens. Leave it the cops to come up with some good ideas to catch the bad guys. Cleveland, Ohio, a federal magistrate judge shot down an attempt by investigators to use a cell tower simulator to get cell phone data from a suspect in an investigation. So these devices, they trick all cell phones in a wide area into thinking that they're connecting to a regular cell tower, according to our article. It then extracts the data from all the phones in the area, including serial numbers and other unique identifiers. Now, the judge in this case is U.S. District Magistrate Carmen Henderson. And Carmen's ruling earlier in the week marked a rare public rebuke of tactics and tools that law enforcement use in investigating crime. So Judge Henderson, she found that the investigator's request was overly broad and would have resulted in the capture of thousands of innocent people's cell phone data in heavily populated areas in Akron, Ohio. The search warrant remains sealed, does not reveal any details about the type of investigation that the investigators were looking into. Judge Henderson's ruling only says that it was an investigation centered around someone in Akron, Ohio. And it goes on to talk about some other stuff involving this, but we're down to 2 minutes and 40 seconds. So I'll let Anthony take it from here, if that's okay.
And the sheriff too. But look, real quick, I got one word. Chatry. Chatry is going to change the game of all this, because now it's not the whole mosaic theory anymore. Carpenter is that idea. It's one piece of data. Does that stingray, right, that cell site replicator, does that stingray gather private information about people? I think it does, because you can backtrack it. You can deduce who is in the area and their location and maybe some other information. I think we have a problem. Sheriff, I think you want to add something too.
No, just the fact that I'm trained on all that equipment, and I've done this on multiple occasions, always with a warrant, never without a warrant. So I'm not quite, having not delved into the case, I'm not quite sure exactly what her issue was, other than exactly what you're talking about is we're going to have this long debate on whether or not that is private information or not.
Well, because, yeah, if it's not private, then you don't need a warrant. But the thing is, the question is, okay, look, a lot of people are getting warrants, but the problem is that, because I think they're stipulating, right, a good lot of bougie legal, they're stipulating that this is a search. Okay, I agree. But the defense attorney said, all right, it is a search. We agree. Okay, fine. But your warrant is too broad. This is a general warrant that the founding fathers would never have allowed, because you're capturing it, with these stingray devices, you're capturing hundreds, thousands, depending on the area, of people's information that have nothing to do with this crime. And how are you going to put a safeguard in place, a judicial safeguard? How is the judge going to approve these warrants so that you're not gathering Chip's information, but you're gathering Anthony's information, because he's the, you know, how are you going to whittle that down? And that is that's above my pay grade. I don't know how you do that, but that's the issue here. Maybe there's, you know, another like layer of, I don't know. I don't want to get into it right now, but the point is that's the $1 million question, is how do you put a judge between us? And
well, I think when you gather this information, you're gathering information that is not easily identifiable. So it is, especially if you're,
I mean, but identifiable 2026, that's the work in 2036, because you can de-anonymize this information pretty easily, I think.
Well, then, but once you have that information, you have to go and get another warrant to get the actual identification of the numbers and data that you've received.
But Sheriff, so, I think we're out of time here. Chip cut us off, but Sheriff, that's the problem. The problem is that Chatry lawyers are saying you don't need to go back to Google or to de-anonymize this. We can do it with dark web data. And they did it with the Chatry data. They actually took the anonymized data and they went to the dark web and found out these people's, you know, they you know, this information, and they were able to deduce who these people were without going back to Google, and that's the issue.
I would agree with that. You shouldn't be able to do that. You should go and get another warrant for the identifying information of that particular phone.
Thank you, gentlemen. Excellent, excellent commentary. Attorney Anthony Bandiero, Sheriff Mark Kreider from Walla Walla County. Guys, we're going to be signing off. Come back, watch your show Monday, 12 noon Eastern. Gulls.com, ComplyTechnologies.com, GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.life, and 2Gulls. Don't forget the Gulls discount code, Radio 15, to get 15% off your next order. We'll see you back Monday, 12 noon Eastern.